Hi, this is Jimmy Evans with Marriage Today. This podcast is dedicated to equipping families with the teaching and tools they need to succeed. We hope you enjoy this episode and subscribe for more marriage building content.
Karen, when we got married, you know, I didn't like to talk. I mean, I like to talk a little, but she just wanted to talk all the time, and she wanted to talk about everything. And when I came from home from work and stuff, I thought she was nosy, you know. And I just thought, I don't want to feed that monster. And she where'd you go? Who'd you see? What'd they say? How'd you feel about that? I was like, this is a boundary violation. And you need general information about where I've been and what I've done, but my feelings are my feelings. That wasn't good with her. But one of the things that healed our marriage is when I started talking to Karen and understand this is what connects her to me. This is what connects her to my world, and what she needs is patient, loving communication. So here's my little speech, and you may have heard my little speech before. Here's my little speech. Okay, so women typically don't need sex as much as men, but what I say to women is be more sexual than you feel. Your husband has the need for sex. You have the gift of sex, and God gave you that gift so that it would draw your husband back to you constantly. Don't despise that. It's a precious thing that keeps your husband coming back to you, and it's important to meet that need. Be more sexual than you feel. That's my little speech to women. Here's my little speech to men, okay? I just got through saying something really wonderful to your wives, because that was a biggie. You're welcome. You're welcome. Okay, here's my little speech to you. Who cares if you don't want to talk? You talk. I just told your wife to be more sexual than she feels. I'm telling you, you talk more than you feel. And you come home, and when she wants to talk, you talk. And don't give her headlines. You open up. You do it with your friends. You do it with her. And she says, what'd you do today? You don't say, nothing. Filled up my truck. Went to work. You say, honey, I woke up this morning at 6:37. I didn't actually open my eyes, but I came into consciousness. I was feeling a little insecure about my meeting with Bob. And just that's what she wants to hear. She wants to hear. And she needs every now and then get a nail, just stand here like this, poke yourself and cry. It's big points. Big points. And I drove down the street and the dog had been run over. And she goes, oh, really? Oh, really? I love it. Oh, you cried. So give it up. Give it up right there. And so that's it. So it's not your need. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying you don't need to talk at all, but it's not your need, but it's your wife's need. So women are different in this area, and men need to respect their wives' need for open, patient, honest, emotional communication. And it's wonderful. I just tell you, I've done it for years with Karen. I like it as much as she does now. I don't know if I'm kind of getting girly or not, but I'm just telling you. But here's another difference between men and women in communication. Men are emotionally modest. Women are emotionally immodest. Now, this is a big, men are physically immodest, and women are very physically modest. And so when women have sex, they are very modest. And so they want, you know, doors shut, lights off, you know, children anesthetized, you know what I mean? It's a careful environment, you know, because they're very physically modest. Men, yeah, just anybody anywhere. So, you know, but it's a difference. But men are emotionally modest. Now, we don't talk like you talk. If you're ever in a restaurant, you have a table of women over here and a table of men over here, listen to the way they talk. And you listen to the women talking and they're saying, well, did you know that Barbara is going for a real difficult time with Sam? Really? Oh yes, she called me the other day and said she's just devastated and said this and this and this and this and this. And they're talking about relationships and they're talking about feelings, they're talking about real stuff. That's this table. The table of men over here says, Bob, did you get your muffler fixed? Yeah, I did. And I'm gonna go to the cowboy game the other night. Really, did you go hunting? What'd you kill last weekend? Well, I killed a 7-point buck. You know, and that's the way men, how'd you feel when you killed that deer, Bob? I felt real good. I feel hungry. We're not gonna talk about our emotions. We don't do that. We're emotionally modest. So women, when they have sex, because they're physically modest, very, very private. Don't tell anybody, don't talk about it. This is between us. Dark room, locked door, everything's very careful. That's the way we talk. That's the way men talk. See, women are emotionally modest. They'll just say anything to anybody. I mean, they're just unguarded. That's just the way God made it. We're not that way. If you want a man to talk, if you ever tell somebody what we said, we'll never tell you anything again. We don't like that. And so you get us in a room, you lock that door, anesthetize those children. And we're gonna sit down and talk in a very careful environment. And when we open our heart, you be careful how you respond, because we're very tender on the inside. We really are. Men don't open, if you're sarcastic, if you're judgmental, if you're mean-spirited, anything like that, a man will shut down on you, because this is the Holy of Holies. Women are tough. Women can argue with each other. When a man's heart rate goes above 100, he can't hear. We just can't do it. We just zone out. It's like women are so tough emotionally, and women can just talk about their emotions and just argue with each other like that. And men are just like grabbing guns, and you know, we're just like, "Dude, you talk to me like that." Women are tougher than men emotionally. It's just the truth. The way you talk to your husband is keep him calm. Is you honor him, you respect him, and you let him know every word you're saying to me is sacred. And I will not share it, and I will not take opportunity with it, and I won't use it against you later. We're different than you are. Ladies are, I mean, I have the greatest respect for women and the way God made you, but you need to understand, we're just not that way. And even to this day sometimes with Karen, you know, we'll be talking or something like that. It's just hard for women to understand the way we're wired. And so I will open up, but I will not open up in the same environment that Karen is willing to be opened up in, because I'm emotionally modest. That doesn't mean I won't talk, it just means it's a different environment. Here's another difference between men and women. We hear through our deepest needs. Now this is a huge, huge issue. Listen to what I'm saying. A man's deepest need is the need for honor. This is our mega need, the need for respect. This is the need above all needs with men, even above sex, is we wanna be respected. And it's not egotistical, it's the way God made us. We want to know that we're a good man. We want to know that you respect us. That's big, big deal for us. Women's number one mega need is security. They want to know that their husband is tuned into them and sacrificially he will meet their needs. Sacrificially, to his own hurt. When a woman knows that her husband's tuned in and to his own hurt, he will put her first and meet her needs and the needs of the family, she's in heaven, okay? So when we communicate with each other, we have to encrypt our language with their need. An example is this. When a man, I didn't realize this about Karen, but see, she can decode my language very quickly, okay? She knows if I'm speaking security or not. It doesn't matter what we're talking about. It doesn't matter what the conversation is. Here's what she wants to hear me say encrypted in this. I care, and I'm tuned in, and I'll do whatever it takes. My heart is turned toward you and our family. I'll say no to anything else, and I care about how you feel. When I'm talking with that tone in my voice, Karen's very calm and very reasonable. But when she hears a tone in me that says, I'm disconnected, something else is more important than you, I'm checked out, she's on high alert. And I can't calm her down. And I can sit there and say, what are you so upset about? Like that. She said, I don't understand. My heart's not there. I've got everything I say to her. If it's going to be successful, it's got to communicate security. I'm tuned in. It's okay. But I'm different. When she talks to me, and I've said this to Karen, especially early in our marriage, I said, "What? The way you say it's more important to me than what you're saying. So whatever you're going to say to me, the way, if you want me to hear it, you need to say it in the right way. Here's what a man needs to hear. I believe in you. You're a good man. I love you. You're the best. I respect you." And you can talk about the kids. You can talk about work. You can talk about spirituality. You can talk about your needs. You can talk about your hurts or fears or anything like that. But you come with your guns loaded and you make us feel now as though you don't respect us and you don't believe in us, we can't hear. It's a jamming frequency. When men are speaking insecurity, it's a jamming frequency, and women just can't hear because their alarm is going off. When a woman comes at a man and makes him feel like, you're a bad man, you're not a good man, I don't believe in you, it's a jamming frequency. It doesn't matter what you're saying, and it doesn't matter if you're absolutely 100% right. You've made it much harder for me to listen because of the way you're talking to me. So if you're gonna have successful communication, remember, your spouse isn't like you. They don't need what you need, and they don't hear like you hear. If you're a man speaking to a woman, talk security, and you will succeed in communicating with that sister. If you're talking to a man, speak the language of respect. You can say anything. You're an equal. But say it with respect and the tone of your voice, and you'll succeed in talking to that man. Let me say this. Same is true of little girls and little boys. If you're going to talk to a daughter or a granddaughter and successfully communicate with her, she needs to hear the language of security. If you've got a little boy or a young man that you're trying to influence, you have to speak honor to him because he's just a little man and she's just a little woman. Any one of the opposite sex that you're communicating with, you have to understand they're different and they have to be talked to in that way. Let me finish this message. Just let me tell you the five standards of successful communication in marriage. Those are the common problems that people don't understand. These are just standards that you have to use in successful communication. The first is caring. The first standard is I care. Now, here's a very simple principle. You can't communicate with a person who doesn't care. It's just impossible. And if someone doesn't care about you, you don't have a chance in the world of effectively communicating with that. And so you know when someone cares. And here's how you communicate care. It's body language. Your body language tells your spouse. It tells others if you care or not. Your countenance. The way you look at them when they're communicating. If you're rolling your eyes, if you're turning your head away, that's not good. But if you're looking at them and you're making a good response and you're listening to what they're saying, you're feeding back, say, yeah, I understand. Yeah, I hear that. And like that tells a person that you care. That's number one. You have to care. And you have to communicate care to communicate. Number two is praise.
Hey there, Jimmy Evans here, and today I want to share something with you that's changed the way so many people approach sleep entirely. It's Cozy Earth bedding. They sent us some sheets and sleeping sets, and they are the softest thing we've ever felt. The softness was remarkable, akin to nothing we've ever experienced. For anyone who values their sleep as much as I do, Cozy Earth is a game changer. What impresses me most about Cozy Earth isn't just the incredible softness or the temperature regulation, it's the commitment to quality. All of their products come with a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty. They're built to endure, and that's something I stand behind. I recommend Cozy Earth to everyone, friends, family, you name it. Here's a special offer just for you. Use promo code MARRIAGE35 at CozyEarth.com to take 30% off your order. Trust me, this is a deal you want to take advantage of. Head over to CozyEarth.com and use the code MARRIAGE35. For 35% off. Discover the Cozy Earth difference tonight. Sleep better, live better, good night, and take care.
The Bible says we enter his courts with thanksgiving and we enter into his courts with praise. God will never let a negative person into his presence. He won't. We enter into God's presence with praise, but remember, we're made in the image of God. This is the Holy of Holies. You can talk to me in a disrespectful tone, but you're not getting in here. And you'll never influence me till you get in here. And same's true of men and women. This is universal. If I'm going to ever be successful in communicating with Karen, I have to begin with a positive tone and I have to praise her. Negativity destroys marriages. You can say negative things, but you have to be careful how you say them. And you earn your right to say those by saying a lot of positive things. But praise means this. When you come to me and you praise me, and you focus on my strengths and don't become critical and focus on my weakness, I'll open my courts to you. And that means my heart of hearts. You enter into my gates with thanksgiving and you enter into my courts with praise because I'm made in the image of God. And when you become critical or negative, man or woman, you're not going to get into my heart. And we're not going to be intimate. We're not going to have a good marriage. We're not going to successfully communicate till we're communicating on a heart level. You can talk to my ear any way you want to. That's called noise. But if you're going to communicate with my heart, it is the Holy of Holies, and I'm not opening the gates to you. until your praise me. And praise is a discipline that keeps us focused on what is right. Praise gets you to remember why you fell in love with that individual. And when praise leaves, criticism always comes, because there's no such thing as a void. You don't have a marriage where there's no praise and no criticism. When the positive goes, the negative comes in. So we keep the negative away by positive. Focus on positive things. And when you, by the way, when people argue, and this is proven in research, a conversation never rises above the level of the first 3 minutes. Never. When you start a conversation negatively by accusing, by criticizing, by coming at your spouse aggressively, you have doomed the communication, and you need to stop it and walk away and come back in an hour or two and apologize and start again. Because you don't start a conversation by accusing and being negative. You start a conversation by saying, I love you and we're on the same team and I'm committed to our relationship and I'm glad I married you. We need to be positive. Number three, standard is truth. We need to speak the truth to each other. Now we need to be careful how we do it. The Bible says in Proverbs 3:3, bind mercy and truth to your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart. And then Ephesians 4 says, speaking the truth in love, we grow up into all aspects into him. Mercy without truth is a cheerleader without a team. Truth without mercy is surgery without anesthesia. Truth without mercy is mean, and mercy without truth is meaningless. We need both of them. We need to be kind in what we say, but we need to speak the truth. We need to give each other the right to speak the truth. We need to have an atmosphere of truth. All dysfunctional families either have no communication, they're silent, or they just don't talk about the truth. There's an elephant, white elephant, standing in the middle of the room and nobody talk about it. That's what a dysfunctional family is. A functional family says, we're gonna talk about the truth. We're gonna talk about our feelings. We're gonna talk about real issues in our relationship, but we're gonna do it in a loving way. And so give your spouse the right to tell the truth, and you tell the truth. And be careful how you do it, but have a truthful relationship. That's where intimacy comes from. Number four is faith. This is a standard in communication. You have to have faith. Without faith, you become mean. In fact, 1 Peter 3 talks about women being able to change their husbands without a word as he observes your chaste and respectful behavior, and it talks about there the gentle and quiet spirit. A gentle and quiet spirit is not a mousy spirit. A gentle and quiet spirit is a woman who has faith that when she speaks that God's on her side. I don't have to be the enforcer. I've got God on my side. I used to bully Karen verbally. After I repented, I would say something to Karen and I would become forceful with her. And one time Karen said to me, Jimmy, I wish that I could just take a recording of what you say and play it back to you and you would realize the way you talk to me. And this is what I said. I don't talk to you bad. I don't agree with that. The difference between the old Jimmy and the new Jimmy is the new Jimmy had faith that if what I was saying was right, that God would be the enforcer. You have every right to say anything you want to say. Are you the enforcer or is God the enforcer? Because if you have faith that God's the enforcer, you're gonna say it and walk away and pray and be at peace. You're gonna have a gentle and quiet spirit, whether you're a man or a woman. But if you're the enforcer, you're gonna nag, you're gonna browbeat, you're gonna punish, you're gonna bully, and you're gonna divide the relationship. Faith. I have faith that if I speak the truth, that the power of God is gonna take it and change your life. God's big enough to change you, and if I'm wrong, he's big enough to change me. That's the fourth standard. And the last standard is surrender. I surrender my mouth to God. This mouth belongs to God, and it will be used by God.
This program today is on communication. This comes from the Marriage on the Rock seminar, a 10-part seminar where it talks about, you know, in-laws, children, communication, sex, blended families, roles in marriage, how to understand and meet your spouse's needs, so on and so forth. But this is one part of that full seminar on communication. And, you know, like I was saying in the teaching there, communication is, you know, it's everything in a marriage relationship. You can't fall in love with a person, stay in love with a person you're not talking to. You certainly can't, you know, be intimate with a person that you're not talking to. And like any other war, you know, when an enemy's trying to defeat somebody, they try to cut their communication lines. And when the devil's trying to destroy your marriage, what he tries to do is cut your communication lines. It's so critical that as a married couple that we talk, but we talk proactively. In other words, we talk before things become an issue. There's three types of communication in marriage. There's proactive, there's reactive, and there's radioactive. Proactive communication means we're going to sit down proactively, and we're going to sit face-to-face, and we're going to talk about the kids, and talk about money, and talk about sex, and talk about, you know, the, you know, issues that we're having before they become issues. We're going to sit down and talk about them and resolve those. The second type of communication is reactive communication. In other words, we're not talking proactively. And by the way, Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together unless they first agree? The answer is no. If you're not talking, you can't walk together because you both are trying to go different directions. And so, but when you sit down and talk and you say, you know something, we're going to walk for the rest of our lives together. And if we're going to do that, you know, we really need to get into agreement about the kids and about money and about all these kinds of things. When you proactively communicate, it's such a blessing, it's such an enjoyable journey. When you don't, you react. You're reacting to money, you're reacting to the kids, you're reacting to work stress, you're reacting to all these other things that are going on. And what happens then, you start reacting and fighting, and then it becomes radioactive. And that means somebody's going to get hurt. We can't talk about this without name calling, without yelling, without explosive temper, and things like that. When Karen and I were on the brink of divorce, we had radioactive issues in our marriage that we couldn't talk about. But when we began to sit down, when I began as a husband to sit down and patiently talk with my wife about the things that were going on and to be humble and to say I was sorry and to resolve one conflict after the other and to begin to agree on the kids and agree on money and agree on these things, the entire atmosphere of our home changed. It dramatically changed our home. And today, we don't react to issues, and we have no radioactive issues in our marriage. We proactively communicate. And because we sit down and respect each other, we're not afraid of truth. We let each other share the truth without attacking each other. We're not defensive. Whenever you do that, it changes everything. And then you're able to talk. Your communication lines are open. You fall back in love if you've lost the passion in your marriage. You become intimate because you're talking about everything. And it's wonderful to be able to talk in marriage. So maybe if you've lost the passion and intimacy of your relationship, you realize you're not talking the way that you should, you'd be the first. You'd be the first in your marriage to open up and begin to talk and tell your spouse, hey, let's sit down. Let's sit down and talk about money. Let's sit down and develop a budget. Let's sit down and develop a plan related to the kids. Let's sit down and talk about these important issues of our marriage until we come into agreement. And nothing is off limits. And when you do that, I promise, it changes everything. I hope that you've been blessed by today's program. I also hope if you've been touched by this ministry that you'll stand with us financially. Anything that you give is a blessing to us. Nothing is too small. Nothing is too large. We go all over the world helping people in marriage, and we can do it because of wonderful people like you. Please stand with us financially. Hope you've been blessed by this program today. We'll see you next time. God bless you.
This is Brent Evans with Marriage Today, and I want to thank you for listening to the Marriage Today podcast. We believe your marriage has a 100% chance of success if you do it God's way. If you enjoyed today's teaching and want to keep learning, subscribe to the Marriage Today podcast and take some time to leave us a review. Your reviews help us spread the word and can encourage someone else in need. For more great marriage content, check out marriagetoday.com, where you can see all of our marriage building resources, videos, articles, and live events.